CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast.
Now here's your host, Brad Pepping.
Good evening and thanks for joining us. In the news this week, we talked to Rebecca Beaton, campus representative for the International Sustainability Group 350 and organizers of the upcoming event Bridge to a Cool Planet. The action taking place this Saturday on the Cambie Street Bridge is hoping to encourage Vancouverites to engage in climate change activism in preparation for the upcoming climate change summit in Copenhagen. We'll hear what's going on with dinosaurs, actions, and policy. As well, we'll take a look at student opinion about climate change and the Copenhagen Summit. We'll have all this plus sports and your weekly weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. First up, I am happy to present this weekly series with the UBISI, a look at campus news with Joan Mendoza, Tara Martellaro, and Charlize Gordon, who are in the studio this afternoon, bringing us headlines from this week's front page.
I'm Tara Martellaro for Charlize Gordon and Joan Mendoza, and these are this week's top stories. Students have their last chance to voice their opinions about the campus plan, which lays out the way UBC campus will grow and change over the next 20 years. The UBC farm, which was scheduled for development in the previous draft, has now been taken out of the equation. As Director of Campus and Community Planning, Joe Scott says people will have to stay tuned. However, students will not have another chance to voice their opinions about campus building plans until 2030. Andrew Karn, AMS representative for the Engineering Undergraduate Society, is already pessimistic about getting large changes made this late in the game. Interested students can attend the last of the opening houses on October 20th.
UBC professor of ophthalmology Chris Shaw has been a vocal and known critic of the 2010 Vancouver Olympic Games for 7 years now. As the games draw near, Shaw, as well as other opponents, have been approached by VanOck's Integrated Security Unit. The Impact of Communities Coalition, an Olympic watchdog, said that VanOck is doing this in an effort to create a climate of fear. The Integrated Security Unit maintains that they are just gathering information.
BC currently spends about $644 million a year to maintain homelessness, says Monty Paulson, investigative editor of the web-based magazine The Tyee. According to Paulson, the cost that the province currently spends on health and other costs for the homeless can be used to provide housing for each of them.
UBC and SFU students have for years now enjoyed the comforts of the UPass. Students in other parts of the province are now lobbying BC Premier Gordon Campbell to issue all students in Metro Vancouver a UPass. However, TransLink estimates that to open up the system to all students, the current rates would have to increase as the deal between UBC and SFU was worked out years ago.
The 32nd annual Shrum Bowl, a football game between UBC and SFU, well, sucked. SFU pummeled the Thunderbirds 30-1 last Saturday in varying weather conditions. Hovering over the game was the fact that this is the last Shrum Bowl, as SFU is moving towards the Great Northwestern Athletic Conference of the NCAA next year. If the event is to continue in 2010 and beyond, it will have to be an exhibition game.
Graduate students are now entitled to take 3 weeks of vacation per academic year. The decision was made by the UBC Vancouver Senate last Wednesday. Before this year, UBC was the only major Canadian university without an official policy regulating graduate students' vacation time. As one senator put it, the policy is to encourage lazy grad students to do work and to discourage slave-driving supervisors. The new policy, effective immediately, creates clear and formal expectations for both students and supervisors, replacing the unofficial and occasionally unfair arrangements of the past.
Supporters of the SkyTrain extension to UBC better not get their hopes up, as the expansion of the Millennium Line to UBC is not happening in the near future. Instead, TransLink is exploring other possible options. They'll be conducting a consultation exercise in November.
UBC has said that the campus will not be affected by the proposed Bill 13, which, if passed, will allow municipalities of Vancouver, Richmond, and Whistler to enter residences and seize anti-Olympic signs within 24 hours' notice during the Olympic period. Michelle Alcoin, director of the UBC Olympic and Paralympic Secretariat, said that the University Endowment Lands Act separates UBC from the City of Vancouver and keeps the university as an unincorporated entity where no major or municipal government exists. However, some students and critics are skeptical of this statement, as allowing public displays of signs at one location and not others would be odd. This is Tara Martellaro for Charlize Gordon and Joan Mendoza for the UBC Student Newspaper.
Thanks, guys. It's now time for a break, but stay tuned. Up next, we'll be speaking with Rebecca Beaton about the upcoming event, Bridge to a Cool Planet.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
Come to the Moon Noodle Bar, located in the lower level of the Sub, for fast and friendly service. We serve up spring rolls, combos, chicken wings, rice bowls, and made-to-order stir fries, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Maybe a song from a film or a tune from TV. Radio Free GAC brings you sounds of the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future and the forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Radio Free GAC, Monday evening, 7:30 till 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You're listening to News 101, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. It's time for Word on the Street, opinions gathered by reporter Richard Kemick for a student perspective on climate change and the upcoming climate change summit in Copenhagen this December.
Alrighty, I'm here with Daniel. Daniel, what have you done to help minimize your climate footprint?
Well, I bus to school every day from Richmond.
Fraz, what, if anything, are you doing to alleviate your climate footprint?
Well, actually, I'm not really... doing anything to alleviate my climate footprint, and the reason being, I guess, just haven't really given much thought, really, to tell you the truth, you know. I don't do anything. Maybe I'm too busy, maybe I make an excuse that I'm too busy, but as of right now, I haven't done anything in the past, so I should change that in the future, though.
Do you believe climate change is happening?
Yeah, I do. And that's why I think I should be doing something about it, even though I'm not. But, yeah.
Michael, what, if anything, are you doing to help alleviate your climate footprint?
Would recycling count in climate change? Yeah, well, I do a bit of that. You know, I dabble. Also buy things that have somewhat, you know, world-helpful, you know, packaging that says I'm helping in some way. And I'll use my own... like receptacles when I get coffee and stuff sometimes, not right now, but yeah, mainly recycling, I'd say.
So guys, what, if anything, are you doing to help alleviate your climate footprint?
Well, whenever I buy my airplane tickets, I buy my carbon offset thingamabob, you call it, and I also recycle. and never drive. Always public transportation.
Ian?
Hey, I'm Ian Brown, and I'm a real badass. And I started a recycling program at my high school back in Switzerland. And I got all the Swiss people recycling their cans. And I think it's really going to help because we really like skiing. I'm a really good skier, even though I'm getting old and my knees are bad. We just got to keep the winters, you know, snowy so that we can keep skiing. So just recycle all your stuff.
I'm here with Elena.
To be honest, nothing at all. But, yeah, I guess I try and promote awareness for global warming.
Are you aware of the Copenhagen talks this December?
Not very familiar with that, no.
Not these ones. I was aware of the last couple ones just because of the courses I was taking, but not the present-day ones, no.
Nope.
No, I haven't, but I was in Copenhagen during the summer.
Yes, being from Norway, yeah.
Are you as well, Ian?
I definitely am, being from Switzerland.
Thanks to Richard for that. And we're actually now turning to reporter Richard Kemick in the studio for an interview with Rebecca Beaton. Richard.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for joining us today, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me, Richard. It's great to be here.
So, Rebecca, what is Bridge to a Cool Planet?
Well, Bridge to a Cool Planet is part of the International Day of Climate Action that is taking place on Saturday, October 24th. This event is going to be huge. There's over 3,000 events happening worldwide in over 120 countries on the exact same day. So Bridge to a Cool Planet is how Vancouver is participating in this day. What's going to happen is people are going to be meeting on the Cambie Street Bridge at 11 a.m. At noon, there's going to be a banner drop, and then there's going to be a parade going off the Cambie Street Bridge all the way to Science World. At Science World, there's going to be lots of cool things going on. There's going to be some bands. There's local Vancouver bands, for example, Warless, Blackberry Wood. And there's going to be a kids zone with storytelling, arts and crafts, face painting, and more. And there's also going to be an eco fair with booths from green businesses, NGOs, and others. So it's going to be a really, really fun day with lots of cool stuff going on. It's not a political protest or rally so much as a show of support for a strong and ambitious plan coming out of Copenhagen in December.
Can you speak more about what the Copenhagen conference is this December?
Yeah, Copenhagen is happening December 8th to 17th. And this is the UN climate talks. This is where the international community is going to be coming together to talk about a global climate agreement to precede the Kyoto Protocol, which expires in 2012. So that's our current international climate agreement. And many people are calling this meeting the most important meeting in world history.
And so Bridge to Cool Planet, who is it being organized by?
Pretty much any group that, well, in Vancouver, any group that is linked to the environment is participating, and many other groups as well. I can name you a few. There's Western Canada Wilderness Committee, Voters Taking Action on Climate Change, West End Residents Association, Metro Vancouver is involved, Oxfam, and Campus Climate Network.
Cool. And now earlier we played a section on streeters, and out of all the people I talked to, none of them knew what the Copenhagen talks were. How do you plan to combat student apathy and ignorance with Bridge to a Cool Planet?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, we have lots of outreach going on at UBC right now. There's lots of posters around, lots of flyering, people doing classroom speaking. We're going to have a booth set up in the sub on Thursday and Friday. As well, we're trying to encourage people to come out to the event by joining the group that's going to be leaving from UBC altogether from the UBC bus loop at 10:30 a.m. On the day of Saturday, October 24th, and we'll be taking the bus down together. Hopefully we have a great turnout at this event, and that will have a large impact on people.
Do you have any idea what the expected turnout is to be?
We're hoping to have over 10,000 people, and it's looking pretty good. Let's pray for sunshine.
And overall, is this event legal?
Yes, this event is very, very legal. It is supported by Metro Vancouver, and half the Cambie Street Bridge is going to be closed, so the lanes going southbound are still going to be open. And it's very legal. It is not going to be dangerous. It's going to be more of a day, peace march meets bike free day, or car free day.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Brad, back to you.
Thanks, Richard. We're going to take another break, but stay tuned. Sports and weather are next. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Raised in hell, forged by fire and harder than drum steel, comes the new album from 3 Inches of Blood, There Wait Thy Doom, featuring 11 hardcore, evil tracks from the biggest defenders of traditional heavy metal. There Wait Thy Doom is available in stores now.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his lab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a... What are you doing on Halloween? How about making a difference? Join us for Trick or Eat, an event where students go door-to-door in university neighborhoods to collect food and raise awareness of hunger in Vancouver. Last year, Trick or Eat raised over 6,600 pounds of food. Join the over 400 students dressed up in true Halloween style on Saturday, October 31st, 2009, from 4 to 7:30 p.m. to make a big difference. Whatever your plans, make Trick or Eat a part of your evening. A few hours of your time can make a huge difference in the lives of Vancouver's hungry and poor. This year, we are specifically looking for people to drive their cars to help transport food from nearby communities back to campus for Trick or Eat. If you have a car and would be willing to donate your time, please email ubc at mealexchange.com.
Hi, this is Mitch from UBC Swing Kids reminding you to come out swing dancing with us this fall. We offer lessons, workshops, and social dances in both Lindy Hop and West Coast Swing, two outrageously fun partner dances. Not sure if swing dancing is right for you? Come check out our first week of classes for free on Wednesday, September 30th. You don't need a partner, all you need to bring are your two left feet. This year we have some exciting new classes and workshops, so even if you've taken lessons with us before, make sure to check out what's new by visiting our webpage. You can find it by Googling UBC Swing Kids. That's UBC Swing Kids, your on-campus source for Lindy Hop and West Coast Swing.
Dick Valentine from Electric Six. You're listening to CITR 101.9, University of British Columbia.
When a problem needs a problem solver, guess who gets the call? Me, that's all. You're tuned in with a black revolver. Guess who dropped the ball? The writing's on the wall. The president of the Copper Lady lost his son in green. From New York to Los Angeles and all points in between.
Welcome back to News 101. Right now it's 519 and time for Thunderbird Eye on Sports with Tyler Noble.
Thanks very much. Well, the UBC men's hockey team led a lead over the Manitoba Bison slip away in the third period in both games at Thunderbird Arena this weekend. And just like he did on Friday, Theron Yeo bailed out the home team on Saturday with a game-winning goal in a 5-3 win over Manitoba. But unlike Friday's contest, this one needed no shootout to decide a winner, as Yeo came up clutch for the Birds again with a hard wrist shot from just inside the blue line that gave UBC a 4-3 lead with less than a minute to play. Yeo netted the shootout winner for the Thunderbirds in Friday's contest. UBC is undefeated in regulation through four games of conference play. Well, the end of the season can't come soon enough for the UBC Thunderbirds football team following a disastrous outing in Trumbull 32 up at Simon Fraser University on Saturday. Clan corner Mark Delorier picked off an errant pass from Birds QB Billy Green early in the second quarter and took it back 80 yards for the touchdown, and SFU never looked back en route to a 30-1 victory. It was the final Trumbull played as a CIS game, with the Clan moving to the NCAA next year. The Thunderbirds are now 1-6 and close out the season at home versus Manitoba on Friday night, a game you can hear on our website, citr.ca. The number 8-ranked UBC men's soccer team exacted a small amount of revenge Friday night at Thunderbird Park with a 1-0 victory over top-ranked and previously undefeated Trinity Western, evening up the season series at a game apiece. With the win, the Birds move into a tie with the Spartans atop the Canada West standings with four games to go in the regular season. The first-place finisher in the conference hosts the Canada West Final Four on November 7th and 8th. Meantime, first-year striker Janine Frizeo filled the net with four goals for the second consecutive night as she led the UBC women's soccer team to a 6-0 victory over the Calgary Dinos on Saturday night. It follows a 6-0 defeat over Lethbridge a night earlier. The Thunderbirds have moved into a tie for the fourth and final playoff spot in the Canada West with the Manitoba Bisons, who do have a game in hand. Coming off a 5-1 win on Saturday, the UBC women's field hockey team put forth another solid effort on Sunday, shutting out the Alberta Pandas 4-0 at Wright Field. The T-Birds were in control from start to finish, getting two first-half goals from Samantha Smith and Whitney Kroll and never giving the Pandas a chance to fight their way back. Kristen Harrington and Miranda Mann tallied for UBC in the second half. The Birds will be in Victoria next weekend to battle the Vikes for the Canada West title. A single point will be enough to secure a top spot. And the two-time defending national champion women's volleyball team begins their quest for a three-peat this weekend at War Memorial Gym. The 2009 CIS Championship banner will be raised as the Thunderbirds host the Winnipeg Westmen Friday night for the first of a two-match weekend series. The UBC men's team plays their season opener Friday night as well. Head coach Richard Schick says the loss of veteran leaders Jared Krause and Steve Gotch to graduation is a challenge, but he's also impressed by the new faces he's brought in.
I think that we may not have as high-end of players here maybe at the moment, but at the same time, I think our team game is going to be quite a bit better.
We'll have both the men's and women's weekend series right here on CITR 101.9 FM. Our coverage begins Friday evening at 5:45, immediately following News 101. And that is your Thunderbird Eye on Sports for this Monday. I'm Tyler Noble.
Thanks, Tyler, for that report. Now it's time for another quick break, but stay tuned. Your week's weather report is coming up with Alice Wong.
The UBC Learning Exchange Trek program wants you to get involved in your community. Learn about important social issues while volunteering at inner-city schools or nonprofit organizations. You'll also get to meet other UBC students in a fun and supportive environment. See how your talent and skills can make a difference in your community. Participate throughout the term or during reading week. Check out www.learningexchange.ubc.ca/CITR to find out more.
Since you listen to CITR, everyone knows you've got excellent taste in music. You've probably got a great record collection too. But think of all the money you've spent on music over the years. You're probably just waiting until your next paycheck to get new albums you want to hear, aren't you?
Well, it's time you start getting the discounts you deserve. With the Friends of CITR card, get up to 15% off of Beat Street, Vinyl, Scratch, Red Cat, and Audio Pile Records, as well as 16 other great local businesses. Friends cards are only $15 or free with the CITR station membership. Become a friend of CITR. Go to www.citr.ca and click Friends of for more details.
Welcome back to News 101 in the Student Union Building.
Recording live from UBC. Returning now to Alice Wong for this week's weather report. Alice?
Thanks, Brad. Here's your forecast for October 19th to October 23rd. We had a nice sunny break today during the morning and afternoon hours, but sadly, this sunshine won't last too long. The cloud cover is already building due to a strong low-pressure system coming in from the Pacific Ocean. This system is moving fairly slowly, so we won't expect to see any significant precipitation until Tuesday night. The clouds we are currently seeing right now is building ahead of the system's warm front. Monday evening to the overnight, a mix of clear and cloudy skies with fog patches, developing near the morning hours, low of 8 degrees. Tuesday starts off with some fog patches, then will be cloudy with some sunny breaks and a high of 13. We should start seeing the precipitation come down Tuesday night, depending on how fast the system moves. Wednesday, rain and a high of 14. Thursday, it will be an overcast day, but we'll see a break from the rain with a high of 13. Unfortunately, the rain will return on Friday again with a high of 14. Currently, it's 12 degrees and mostly cloudy at YVR.
Thanks for that, Alice. I'm just wondering, though, while I still have you on the line, is this the type of weather that we can expect for October, mid-October, for the rest of our future in Vancouver? Is this something that we've seen before?
Actually, yeah. This year, it hasn't been particularly too exciting in the fall. I mean, we had a really good summer with, in terms of from a weather perspective, it's been really warm, and we broke a lot of records in the summer. But so far this autumn, it's been pretty much a stable pattern. I mean, we get our typical low-pressure systems moving in from the Pacific Ocean, the Aleutian lows, but they haven't been really that strong. I mean, we see a little bit of rain, a few downpours on a few days, but it's been pretty nice overall. And temperatures-wise, it's also been at a fairly average kind of around 16, 17 degrees.
And so you said that we had this really beautiful summer. Are we going to have to compensate and have a very horrid winter? Are we going to have a lot of snow? What do you think?
Actually, in terms of, because with the Olympics coming up, that's been a real big debate about how much snow and how much, in terms of precipitation amounts, especially snow, we're going to get. And what seems to be the case is that it'll actually be maybe actually warmer than usual. It wouldn't be so cold, and we might actually get less rain. So that would be kind of an interesting thing, because if it's warmer than usual and with less rain, we probably won't see as much snow. So that would be something to watch out for. The seasonal forecast for next February is still really far off, so we are not too sure yet at this point. But it does seem like it will be a pretty mild winter and pretty dry as well.
And speaking of Whistler, how are they doing this time of year? Do you think they'll be getting the same amount of precipitation, and is it the same situation for them?
Whistler, usually, in terms of precipitation, they're kind of similar to Vancouver. They are higher up in elevation, so obviously they do get more snow. But in terms of these low-pressure systems, because they cover such a vast area, they don't usually the rainfall amounts is pretty similar for both Whistler and Vancouver. Even within Vancouver itself, geographically, we have places that are higher up, like the North Shore, versus like Richmond Delta, which tend to get less rain because they are lower and closer to sea level. And the higher up you go, you tend to get more rain because of the upsloping effect of the mountains. So Whistler sometimes does get more precipitation, but usually it's in the form of snow and not rain. So it seems like that Vancouver gets a lot more because it is rain. So, but amounts-wise, it's not too much different.
Well, thank you very much for that detailed report, Alice. We do appreciate it, and it's exciting to hear about what we can expect for the future.
Okay. You're welcome.
And that's our program for October 19th, 2009. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved in the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Megan Turcato produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Brad Pepink, and for the entire news team at CITR, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Tracked on 101.9 FM CITR.